My scripture reading today is in James. So let's turn to James chapter 2 and verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? I think I'm going to have to stop and hook myself up and begin again. Was this on, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. My scripture reading is in James chapter 2, and let's start at verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you for each one that is in your house of worship. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the love and concern that you have for each one of us as we go through the things that life brings to us. And Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on our family. And we ask your blessings on the thoughts that we will express. And the words that we will read. And Heavenly Father, bless it to each one of us, and let it be to each one as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask, and amen. My text to you is in James 1 and verse 27. And that reads, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, isn't that something that we have a verse that lets us know? I feel what is really important to God. For Christian people to do, and that is for them to be of service and recognize the orphans and the widows. And then lastly, it says something that I would think that all of us should give a lot of thought to. And how do we go about accomplishing this, and exactly how good of a job are we doing with this, to keep himself unspotted from the world? Does that mean unaffected by the world? Does that mean that we should keep ourselves distant from what is going on in the world? Whatever is of the world, should we not associate? Should we not do? And I think each one of us must ask to answer this question for ourselves. But I'd like to get you to see that there are questions that sometimes would come to our mind, and perhaps others would question us in certain areas of life. It seems as if man always seems like whatever is they're involved with, their question seems to come as, what can I get out of this? The bottom line seems to be, what can I get out of whatever the situation is in life? But you know, the question should be, what can I do? What can I give to help? And we see that when we read the text, the point is that God is telling us that He puts before us orphans and widows. And there is things that we can do. There is services that we can render. And that is important, obviously, to God. So in James, I'd like to title my message to you from Scriptures in James. I'd like to entitle it, Living a Quality Christian Life. James seems to speak of this kind of thing. In fact, it seems like that when we read in James and we consider the way James writes and expresses himself, and the Apostle Paul and what he seems to dwell on and write about, seems like primarily, it almost seems as if one is writing and speaking of what some in the Christian world would seem to think, that Paul is dwelling on faith without works, and James is speaking of faith with works. Do you see what I'm saying? And you know, I have come to, even though the majority of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul, I have come to really love the fact that Jesus used James to write the things that he did in the New Testament. And why is it? Well, it's because I think the majority of the Christian world gets things so mixed up and so distorted of what the Apostle Paul writes about. And in James, it seems like James is providing the balance to that. Well, who other than God could provide the things that are necessary within His words to get the very truth to things, to provide that balance? Let's go to 2 Peter 3 and start at verse 14. 2 Peter 3 and start at verse 14. And Peter is the one that's speaking, and he's speaking this of, as we will read, the Apostle Paul. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. That's quite a bit right there in that one verse. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our brother, beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Do you see that even Peter, 2,000 years ago approximately, Even Peter recognized that the writings of Paul could be misused, misunderstood, distorted. And Peter is letting all that is around him know that you need to examine the writings of Paul very carefully. James adds a great balance if you will really truly try to understand what Paul tries to say in his writings and James tries to say in his. You will see that the truth can be known. And the principles leading to living a quality Christian life can be had. The writer of the book of James reveals the results of living a genuine, having and living a genuine relationship with God. James is known as a preacher of practical righteousness. And he urges people to prove their faith by a life of godly works. He boldly declares that the faith that does not produce works is dead. Now get that. James says that the faith that does not produce works is dead. And the other word that is used in my translation is that it's useless. No good for anything. Faith by its nature cannot exist and be fruitless. James wrote to the Christians that were scattered abroad, and he gave to them some practical principles increasing their faith in God. And in so doing, he presented them a challenge to live a full Christian life. And that's what we want to speak of this morning. That's what we're saying that James taught, is how to live a quality Christian life. And it must be a faith in God and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that produces works. Faith that results in works and action. In James 1, the readers are warned four times against the peril of being self-deceived about the quality of their faith. It's possible for one to consider himself to have genuine faith and be mistaken. Do you know that? It's possible for one to think that he has genuine faith and yet be mistaken. Jesus said himself these words, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Not everyone that speaks to him and has communication with him that says, Lord, Lord, so we find that it is the one that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's what's important as Jesus speaks. Let's go to Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, this is Jesus speaking, red letters, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Now these people that he's speaking about and to, that speaks to him and says, Lord, Lord, have I not done all of these things? Now listen what it says in 22. And Jesus is continuing. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, now these are the things that they say that they did as justification for them being worthy, found worthy, and judged worthy. Did we not prophesy in your name? That can be taken to mean ministering the word. It can be taken to mean foretelling future events that was going to happen. Did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? Now that's stated as if it happened. And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And that's stated as if it happened. But you see, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Many who are numbered among the followers of Christ, many are superficial believers. And on that great judgment day, according to these scriptures, they're going to be greatly surprised to discover that they are excluded from heaven because of a lack of faith that manifests itself in the kind of godly works that God would have us to be doing. By studying the book of James, Principles for Living a Quality Christian Life can be understood. And the first of those principles that James lets us know about is that pure religion has its origin in the heart of God. Pure religion, or a religion resulting in living a quality Christian life, has its origin in the heart of God. Let's go to James 1 and 17. James 1, 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Do you see that God is the source of every good and every perfect gift? And our faith and our religious service and our worship are but responses to God's initiative of sending the Holy Spirit to tug at our hearts, to get our attention, to set our feet on the right path to Him. God is the source of a great Christian life and living it. Secondly, pure religion requires that we be both teachable in mind and heart. God wants us to be open to the truth. And I think that means with implication that very likely we don't have all of the truth. Do you think? God wants us to have an open heart, and He wants us to have an open mind, so that when we read His truth, or more truth is revealed to us, we will be able to know God's what God really is saying and what the real truth is. And we will be able to accept it. Let's go to James 1 and 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We need to be swift to hear, and being open to God's truth. A genuine faith in Jesus Christ will result in an eager desire to hear the truth of God concerning all of the aspects of life that God would have us to be focused on. And the book of James warns us against being just a hearer. There's one thing to hear the word of the truth, the one thing to know what we should do, but it's altogether another thing to do it. Let's go to James 1 and 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. 3. Pure religion will put forth an earnest effort to control the use of the tongue. The book of James lets us know so clearly how important this particular point is. Controlling the use of the tongue. And James encourages us in James 1 and 19, he says, be slow to speak. And we should all recognize that while our Creator, in all His wisdom, has given us 2 ears to make sure we hear the facts straight, 2 eyes to make sure that we see the facts straight, He's given us only 1 mouth, only 1 tongue. What's the implication of that? We should do a lot more seeing and a lot more hearing than we do speaking. Wouldn't you think that's a good implication? And it's for sure that He meant us to take in what we can with our 2 ears, and to get from our sight with 2 eyes what we can do there. But what's behind the 2 eyes and what's between the 2 ears? A brain. And He is given that in hopes, I'm sure, that we will filter what we see and what we hear through our brain so that our little tongue will not take hold and outrun our brain. Right? Think about those things. James lets us know how important that little tongue is. And he compares it to the little bits that is put in the horse's mouth. And the least little tug will make that big horse go where you want it to go. And he compares it to the little rudder on a boat or ship that even though it's so small compared to the boat or ship, the least little turning there can get it to go and do whatever you want it to do. Our tongue can have a devastating effect on another person or a group of people. We have to be very careful to control our tongue. For sure, in God's Word. Once there was a young man who came to the philosopher Socrates to be instructed in great speech making. And the moment that the young man was introduced to Socrates, he began to talk and continued for some time. And when Socrates could get in a word, he said to the young man, "Young man, I will have to charge you a double fee." A double fee? Why? The old sage replied, I will have to teach you two sciences. First is how to hold your tongue, and then how to use it. And I would just speculate that it took him quite a bit more time to teach how to hold the tongue. Fourth, pure religion involves a constant diligence to eliminate all evil from our hearts and lives. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Pure religion involves a constant diligence to eliminate all evil from our hearts and lives. And you know, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're supposed to then become a new person, a rebirth of type is supposed to have occurred, and we're in essence supposed to be becoming a new person that is becoming less like ourselves and more like God. And thereby, we die out to sin. Sin becomes hopefully less in our lives. And those godly characteristics takes the place of those. And we become more like God. More like He wants us to be. And you know, in dying out, in trying to eliminate all evil from our hearts and lives, do you know, regardless of what some people may think, Christians are not exempt from that. Even the Christian has a nature that would subject him to any and all kind of temptations and every possible type of sin. We are challenged to put aside all filthiness and all malice, hatred, anger, and wickedness, and to keep ourselves unstained by the world. And there that thought occurs again. What does that mean? Unstained. The world maybe don't rub off on us to where it becomes a permanent part of us. Maybe that's part of it. The world is not supposed to affect us to where the world itself becomes part of us. Let's go to James 1 and 27. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. How can we do this? How can we remove all sin and evil from our hearts and lives? Does this almost imply that we should be perfect? Certainly you would think so. Let's go to James 3 and verse 1. James 3 and verse 1. We have something there I want you to pay attention to. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble, listen to that, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. There's that word perfect. That's an interesting. And it is very interesting that the Bible says, and I believe it's Jesus Christ, that instructs us to be perfect. Can you believe that? Jesus Christ Himself. Let's go to Matthew 5 and 48. Matthew 5 and 48. And this is Jesus. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How perfect do you feel this morning? Well, I would have to confess, not real perfect. But yet the Scripture says, and Jesus says, be ye perfect. How do we take that? I have to take it at the very minimum to try to get sin out of our lives and out of our heart and mind each day of our life. Strive to be better. Strive to be knowledgeable about God's Word, to find out the truth, and then do the truth each day of our life. Let's go to James 1 and 4. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And in James we speak and read of being perfect. Pure religion reveals itself in the practice of compassionate acts of kindness. A lot of people needs more compassion. A lot of people. Let's look at some common sense conclusion to this thought. Pure religion is something more than just ritual and ceremony. Pure religion is infinitely more than just attending a regular worship service. Many people attend regularly worship service, and from one worship service to the next, doesn't seem like a lot sets in firmly. Doesn't seem like a lot of genuine sincerity happens. A lot of dedicated service does not happen. A lot of positive changes within the lives and the actions and reactions doesn't seem like a lot to set in. Just attending worship services don't mean that God's Word is going to get home, that it's going to do what we know that it's supposed to do. We've got to have our hearts and our minds open and receptive to God's Word. Pure religion has ears that hears distress calls. Have y'all ever heard any distress calls from your friends, people around you? Somebody needing a comforting word? A little helping hand? Pure religion hears those cries for help. Pure religion sees needs that requires God's messengers and service from God. And pure religion needs helping hands to give joyful assistance wherever there's a need. As followers of Christ, it's possible, it is possible for us in God's sight to be on our way to perfection. And it's possible for us to have a pure religion, to be living a life of quality Christian living. Pure religion will produce joy in our own hearts. Pure religion is contagious. Others will see God's work in us. And it's contagious because when they see God's work in us and see how God is working through us to reach others, then they will want that. They will want to be a part of that. If they can see a living demonstration in you of God's working through you, they will want to be part of God's work also. Let's go to God's blessings over in Numbers, and let's read that in closing our service today. Be sure to read more yourself in the book of James to get that balance that I'm speaking of with the writings of our brother Paul. And let's start and let's read in number 6, and let's start at verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face on you and give you peace. Amen. Bow with me in prayer.